जय गोपी जन वल्लभ जय गिरिवर धारी जय गिरिवर धारी जय यशोदा नंदन जय ब्रज जन रंजन जय यशोदा नंदन जय ब्रज जन रंजन जय यमुना तीरवन चारी जय कुंज बिहारी जय यमुना तीरवन चारी जय कुंज बिहारी राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Balaram Jaya Krishna Balaram Jaya Krishna Balaram Jaya Krishna Balaram Jaya Radha Shyam Sundar Radha Shyam Sundar Radhe Jaya Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai, Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai. Jaya Narsingadev, Jaya Narsingadev, Narsingadev, Jaya Narsingadev. Jaya Prahlad Maharaj, Jaya Prahlad Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, Jaya Prahlad Maharaj. Prabhupad, 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 Jaya Prabhupad. Gaura Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Nittai Gaura Hari Bol.
Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivraja Kacharya Shtotra Sat. His Divine Grace Abhay Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Shri Shri Krishna Balaram ki jai, Shri Shri Radha Shyam Sundar ki jai, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai, Shri Narsingadev Bhagavan ki jai, Bhaktaraj Prahlad Maharaj ki jai, Nitai Go Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories, all glories, all glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga. Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Tadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruhu Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namahum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesh Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरून् दीनतारिणं वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमो महावदान्याय कृष्णप्रेमप्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्यनाम्ने गौरत्वशे नमः। हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Hare Krishna. So yesterday we were discussing the background of Shukadev Goswami narrating the pastime of Lord Narsingadev and Prahlad Maharaj. We also spoke about why glorification of Prahlad Maharaj is appropriate on the occasion of Narsingha Chaturdashi. We gave many reasons for that. Then we discussed how many great personalities, including the Supreme Lord Himself, glorify Prahlad Maharaj as the best devotee. And in the course of that discussion, we quoted from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, in which Lord Shiva glorifies Prahlad greatly when Narad Muni approaches Lord Shiva, having been directed there by Lord Brahma, because Brahma says that Shiva is a greater devotee than me, so go to Lord Shiva. But Lord Shiva is very embarrassed. And he says that the devotees of Vaikuntha are superior, they are very great, but there is one devotee, Prahlad, who is even greater than the residents of Vaikuntha. And Shiva goes on to explain how the Lord bestowed unthinkable mercy upon Bali Maharaj, despite Bali Maharaj's many offenses, simply because Bali Maharaj was related to Prahlad Maharaj. And he gives a second example of Bali Maharaj's son, Banasur, who was very wicked. That the Lord's mercy on Banasur was also very considerable. And that was because of Banasura's connection with Prahlad Maharaj, being his great grandson. And we also mentioned how Shiva even proclaims Prahlad as being greater than the residents of Vaikuntha, like Garuda, Vishvaksena, and even the Lord's own consort who resides eternally on his chest, Lakshmi Devi. And Sanatan Goswami explains that there are two reasons for this. One is because the Lord wanted to inspire the devotees in the material world and make sure that they did not lose confidence in the process of devotional service after having seen a great demon like Hiranyakashipu becoming so powerful and oppressing the topmost devotee, Prahlad. And the second reason is that Prahlad was very dear to the Supreme Lord, even more dear than his own consort Lakshmi and the other eternal associates, because Prahlad had undergone unlimited difficulties and tribulations. The eternal associates of the Lord do not have to undergo such tribulations. And therefore, even though Prahlad was, relatively speaking, from the standpoint of eternity, he was a new devotee, a junior devotee, still he was considered more dear to Krishna than the senior devotees. So therefore, the important factor is not how long we have been in devotional service, but the important factor is how much we have surrendered ourselves to Krishna. And how much of ourselves are we willing to sacrifice for His pleasure and for His service? And the Lord actually wanted, through Prahlad Maharaj's example, to encourage all the residents in the material world to increase their level of surrender and devotion to Him. In this way, Lord Shiva has glorified Prahlad Maharaj and considered him the best devotee. Srila Sanatana Goswami goes on to say that someone may argue that the demigods and the other residents of the higher planets, they very often have audience of the Lord. They see the Lord face to face because the Lord visits their planets frequently. And the Lord also resides on some of their planets. And they are able to see the Lord directly, which is actually the fruit of one's spiritual practices, that one actually lives and associates with the Lord. So they are able to do that. And Prahlad Maharaj, he only remembered the Lord. And only one time he saw the Lord, when the Lord came. Someone may argue like that. So why is Prahlad considered superior to these personalities? So Sanatana Goswami explains that actually it's not that Prahlad merely remembered. In the Srimad Bhagavatam it is explained that Prahlad Maharaj is in Harivarsha planet constantly offering wonderful prayers, devotional prayers to the Supreme Lord face to face. And apart from that, what is this remembrance? Is remembrance not the highest form of worship? Ultimately, the test of our devotion is in our remembrance of Krishna. In fact, at various places, bhakti has been defined differently. And Narad Muni also explains that forgetfulness of the Lord, even for a moment, if that causes intense pain or regret to the devotee, then that devotee should be considered very advanced. Even for one moment, if one has forgotten Krishna. But a pure devotee like Prahlad, for him there was no question of forgetting the Lord even for a moment. Complete absorption of the Lord, of the mind in the Lord, is something that is very, very exalted. It's not to be considered something ordinary. Even though the great demigods like Indra and so on used to frequently see the Lord face to face in the higher planets, nevertheless, they still forgot the Lord sometimes because they were overwhelmed by their opulence. And the story of Indra and the Parijat tree episode is one instance. Lord Krishna personally appeared before Indra in the heavenly planets. Previously, Indra had personally begged Lord Krishna to stop the atrocities of Bhaumasur. Krishna had obliged kindly. And then he came to Amaravati, the capital of the heavenly planets, the residence of King Indra, to return whatever goods had been stolen by Bhaumasur from the heavenly planets. Indra was very happy. He worshipped the Lord. But when Krishna wanted to take the Parijat tree for the pleasure of his queen Satyabhama, Indradev immediately changed his behavior. He became very hostile. And Krishna actually had to fight a battle with Indra and defeat him. And then he forcibly took away the Parijat tree. So Rupa Goswami has clearly defined what bhakti is. Anukulyena Krishnanushilanam Bhaktiruttama. So that service which is done with a favorable mentality is devotional service. So if one doesn't have a favorable mentality towards the Lord, then how can that be considered the topmost stage of devotional service? So Indradev was not acting very favorably to the Lord when he actually tried to physically prevent the Lord from taking away the Parijat tree from the heavenly planets. So even though the demigods may time to time physically see personally the Lord in front of them, and they may even talk to the Lord and associate with him very personally, we should understand that they are indeed exalted souls, no doubt about that. But what of their forgetfulness time to time? Whereas Prahlad was never bewildered by any of the opulences that the Lord gave to him. In fact, so confident was the Lord in Prahlad's devotion and his purity that he told him, he instructed him to become the king after Bali Mahara, after Hiranyakashipu. We see in the 10th chapter of the 7th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam that after Prahlad Maharaj had pacified Narsingadev by offering beautiful prayers, then Lord Narsingadev asked Prahlad Maharaj, or he told Prahlad Maharaj to ask him for benedictions, and Prahlad Maharaj refused. He said that he wanted only devotion. He wanted to be free of all material desires. He did not desire anything else. Prahlad Maharaj, being extremely pleased with him, I beg your pardon, Lord Narsingadev being extremely pleased with Prahlad Maharaj, he said, "Nevertheless, I bless you. I order you to take up the seat of the king and be in this material world, ruling here as king till the end of this Manvantara, for as long as this Manu lives, which is very, very long, many, many millions of years. And I bless you that you will not get affected by the material existence. You will constantly remember me. So I want you to be here as the king, and by enjoying happiness in this world, you will exhaust the fruits of your pious activities in the past, and by your performing pious activities, you'll neutralize the effects of your impious activities in the past. And in this way, constantly remembering me, you go ahead, and at the end of this term, at the end of the lifetime of Manu, you will return to my abode and live with me eternally." So Prahlad Maharaj was such a pure devotee that the Lord was completely confident that he would not get overwhelmed by this opulence as the demigods were. Incidentally, it was at this time that when the Lord was repeatedly asking Prahlad Maharaj to ask him for some benedictions, Prahlad said, "All right, my Lord, I will ask one benediction, and that is that my father, he has committed so many atrocities against me, who is your devotee, and he has offended you and all the devotees and the brahmanas in so many ways. I don't see what recourse is there for him. What is the means of salvation except your mercy? So please, deliver him. That is my request to you." And the Lord at that time declared, "Prahlad, do not worry. Automatically by your becoming a devotee, 21 generations, 21 forefathers to be precise, that is,
Trisaptabhihi Pita, that is the word that the Lord uses. So 21 forefathers will be delivered. Srila Prabhupada explains in his purport that generally we remember our forefathers for say a maximum of 3 or 4 generations. We know our father and mother, we know the grandfather, great-grandfather, and at the most another generation. But we don't usually have information of generations prior to that. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada says that when the Lord blessed 21 forefathers of Prahlad to get purified, he intended that even the forefathers from the previous births be delivered, not just the present birth as Prahlad. So even in his previous births, he had so many forefathers. So forefathers in the previous births would also be delivered because in this life, Prahlad had executed devotional service in such a pure way. So incidentally, from here also we understand that what to speak of Bali Maharaj and Banasur, who were his grandson and great-grandson respectively. Prahlad Maharaj's father was also delivered, who was so demoniac. So such is the influence of a great devotee like Prahlad that he delivers not only the forefathers but even the descendants. And this promise has been personally given to Prahlad by Lord Narsingadev. So we can see that because Prahlad Maharaj is never overwhelmed or distracted by the opulences of this world, despite possessing them unlimitedly for a long period of time, and he never forgets the Supreme Lord in any circumstances, therefore he is considered superior to the demigods, who may sometimes see the Lord face to face and associate with them. Actually, when Bali Maharaj was asked by the Lord, or when Lord Vamanadev approached Bali Maharaj, and Bali Maharaj was not able to fulfill the promise, he felt extremely aggrieved. And Vamanadev asked him, "So my dear king, you have promised me 3 steps of land, but you have not been able to give it to me. So now what do I do? What can be done?" So Bali Maharaj at that time, with great regret, said that, "Please place your 3rd step on my head. I offer my body to you." And then he said, "I do not mind that all my opulences, my possessions and so on are going to be taken away by you. I am only fearful of the defamation that will be caused to me if I cheat a Brahmana. I have promised you 3 steps of land and I could not give it to you. So that is a horrible fate for me. So that is really of concern to me. But at the same time, by kindly placing your lotus feet on my head, you will deliver me. Although you appear sometimes in the guise of our enemy, that is the friends of the demigods, and you play tricks against us like you have done now to cheat us of our possessions and you give it to the demigods, still I understand that you are actually our well-wisher. Because we are carried away by the sense of false prestige because of this opulence and power and so on. So you are really our greatest well-wisher. As far as this body is concerned, what is the value of this body? It is going to perish sometime anyway. And all the family members and all the wealth that we have, what is its value unless we use all these in your service? So as Bali Maharaj was speaking like this, Prahlad Maharaj arrived on the scene because he had also heard of what was happening to his grandson. This was great news, breaking news all over the universe. So as soon as the latest news spread everywhere like wildfire all over the universe, Prahlad Maharaj immediately rushed and he arrived at this moment. It didn't take long for Prahlad Maharaj to come. So, as soon as he arrived, Shukadev Goswami describes that Prahlad Maharaj looked very effulgent. He was wearing yellow colored or golden colored clothing. He was dark complexioned and beautiful. He had lotus-like eyes. His arms came down to his knees. And as soon as he came there, Bali Maharaj, who had by now been bound by ropes, he looked at Prahlad Maharaj, and out of great embarrassment and shame, he bowed down his head and his eyes filled with tears. Why was Bali Maharaj ashamed? Because he knew that Prahlad Maharaj, his grandfather, was such a great devotee of the Lord, and he knew that he had broken a promise to the Supreme Lord. He had not kept his promise. So he had been an offender at the lotus feet of the Lord. He had not been a truthful person. So how could he face his grandfather, who was such a virtuous and great devotee? So out of great embarrassment, he actually began to shed tears and could not see his grandfather face to face. When Prahlad saw the Lord there, he immediately offered his prostrated obeisances. And then he began to glorify the Lord. He said, "My Lord, it is you who gave Bali Maharaj the kingdom." Actually, Bali Maharaj at this time was in the higher planets, because he had usurped the planets of the demigods. As we mentioned yesterday, Bali Maharaj, one of his faults or his offenses was that he had violated the natural order of Brahma, which is that the demigods should stay in and rule over the higher planets in the universe, and the demons should live in the lower planets and rule them. So Bali Maharaj had dispossessed the demigods of their planets and installed the demons in various positions there. So when Prahlad Maharaj came, he said, "My dear Lord, it was by your mercy alone that Bali Maharaj could get possession of this kingdom, all the three worlds. Earlier he was only in the lower planets. Now he got all the three planetary systems. This was only by your mercy. And now, by your mercy, you are taking it away also. So everything that you do, my Lord, is your mercy. We understand that you are the greatest well-wisher of my grandson, Bali, because you saw that this opulence was driving him into more and more ignorance and darkness. And therefore, out of great kindness, to relieve him of his sense of false prestige and to take him out of ignorance, you have taken away his possessions." At that time, Brahmaji started offering prayers. And then even Bali Maharaj's wife, Vindhyavali, she also offered prayers to the Supreme Lord. And the Lord began speaking to Brahma after that. And he said, "My dear Brahma, just see, in this world, opulence and power is such a thing that it destroys a person's mind. It makes one go into complete darkness. And while rotating in this cycle of birth and death in this material world, if somebody acquires a lot of opulence or wealth or beauty or education and so on, and if he is not proud of such things, then I favor such a person. Such a person will understand that he has obtained all these things only by my mercy. And therefore he knows that he must use these things only in my service. Therefore, when a pure devotee of the Lord, of mine, acquires these things, he is never disturbed, because he will never use them for his sense enjoyment. Rather, he will use them only for my service." In this way, he the Supreme Lord went on speaking. At this time, he blessed Bali Maharaj. He told him, but just look at this Bali. I took away everything from him. All his people have disowned him. His own guru has cursed him. He has nothing left in this world. But he has remained steadfastly dedicated to the path of truthfulness. Therefore, I am very pleased with him. In fact, I am so pleased with him that I am awarding him a planet that is better than the planets of the demigods. Now, this planet, Sutala Loka, has been personally created by Vishwakarma. And by my mercy, this Sutala Loka henceforth will be protected from all the demoniac people because my Sudarshan Chakra will be there. None of the predominating deities of the planets can ever invade this planet. And I will personally stand guard as the doorman of this planet and guard Bali Maharaj. All those who are residing in this planet, they will be free always from bodily and mental miseries, from fatigue and so on. This is my blessing to Bali. And in this way the Lord actually gave unprecedented favor to Bali Maharaj because of his connection to Prahlad, as Lord Shiva has explained earlier. At this time, Prahlad also began to offer respects to the Lord as Bali Maharaj was making preparations to go to Sutala Loka. Prahlad Maharaj pleased the Lord, and the Lord looked at Prahlad Maharaj and said, my dear son, now you please also go and join your grandson in Sutala Loka and stay there with him and enjoy all the opulences that I will provide there. You will be always fixed in my devotion. I bless you. And you will always see me there in my four-armed form at the gate. And by simply looking at me and associating with me, you will always remain free from all material miseries. And this material existence will not touch you. So in this way, Prahlad Maharaj also came to reside in Sutala Loka. Actually, in one interesting purport in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada mentions that Prahlad Maharaj is simultaneously in Vaikuntha and in Sutala Loka. How is that possible? Prabhupada explains that just as the Supreme Lord can expand himself into several portions or expansions, similarly, the pure devotees like Prahlad Maharaj are also empowered to do the same. They can also expand themselves and be in more than one place at one time. This may be inconceivable to the material mind because it is not possible for us to imagine such a thing. But for the pure devotees of the Lord and the eternal associates, such things are possible. So Srila Prabhupada says that yes, he is in Vaikuntha and he is also here. And then the Bhagavatam also declares that he is in Harivarsha, offering prayers constantly to the Lord. So this is the realm of the Absolute, where things are not always easily conceivable. So in any case, Prahlad Maharaj was living in Sutala Loka, enjoying his devotional life in great bliss, associating with the Supreme Lord there. So this is the greatness of Prahlad. Lord Shiva, having spoken about the greatness of Prahlad to Narad Muni, then he told Narad Muni, now you go to this Sutala Loka. You go there because Prahlad Maharaj is there now. But one word of caution, because Narad Muni was in such a hurry that he was just leaving. He said, wait. I'll tell you one thing, a warning. What warning? He said, don't offer obeisances to Prahlad Maharaj. Because Prahlad Maharaj is such a humble devotee that if you offer obeisances to him and if you offer him words of respect, he will become very upset. He may not even talk with you. He may leave the place and go to another place. So such is the nature of Prahlad. So Narad Muni was too eager to go to Prahlad anyway, so he heard this instruction from Lord Shiva, but he went and wanted to offer obeisances anyway. So in Sutala Loka, Prahlad Maharaj was sitting absorbed deeply in meditating upon the Lord within the heart. So he was seeing the Lord constantly within. And because of his intense absorption internally within, his external senses were not working. But amazingly, as Narad Muni approached Sutala Loka to the point where Prahlad was sitting, Prahlad Maharaj could understand from within without any information from his external senses that Narad Muni was approaching. Normally, even if we are sitting, thinking, absorbed in something else, and somebody approaches, it is our external senses that indicate that someone is approaching. We may hear a noise, or we may see him approaching. But for Prahlad Maharaj, the information did not come from his external senses. It just came from within. But because he was so deeply absorbed, it took time for Prahlad to come out of that meditation, by which time Narad Muni had already come very close. Narad Muni came and he wanted to rush and offer obeisances, and Prahlad was horrified, because of course Prahlad is a disciple of Narad Muni. And when the spiritual master comes and wants to fall at the feet of the disciple, what can be more embarrassing? So Prahlad Maharaj was horrified. He said, "No, no, no." And he wanted to offer obeisances to Narad Muni's feet. Narad Muni didn't want to accept that. Narad Muni simply wanted to embrace Prahlad. And Prahlad wanted to offer respect to Narad Muni. So a great competition took place. And then finally, with great difficulty, Prahlad Maharaj managed to make Narad Muni sit on an asana and give him a respectable seat. And he wanted to offer him Arghya and such water and such items which are generally offered to a respectable guest. And then Narad Muni couldn't wait. He was impatient. So he wanted to dispense with all these formalities of welcome and respect. And then he started glorifying Prahlad Maharaj. He said, "My dear Prahlad, you are so fortunate. You are the greatest devotee. Even as a small child, you conquered the Lord by your devotion. You endured untold tortures given by your own father, the demon Hiranyakashipu. And you were never afflicted. You were never distracted from your devotional remembrance of the Supreme Lord. How is it such a wonderful thing? We see that people in this world get very easily distracted by suffering or by pain, but you were not in the least distracted. And then, my dear Prahlad, just see how wonderfully the Lord dealt with you when he came all the way here just for you on the bank of the ocean. As the Lord approached, all the demigods had been there as well. But you neglected them, including your own consort, Lakshmi Devi. And then you placed Prahlad upon your lap. You embraced him like a mother embraces a child. And then you began rocking back and forth. And in this way you showed your love for Prahlad. And even when Brahma and even Lakshmi Devi were afraid to come in front of you, after you had killed the wicked demon Hiranyakashipu, the Lord actually caught hold of Prahlad and he put him on his lap and he began to lick him, because a lion animals like lions, cats, they basically express their affection by licking. Even if you go to our goshala, you will see that many times the cows or the bulls, they lick each other. And especially the cow, the mother of a newborn calf, you will see that the cow will always lick the entire body of the calf. So by licking, animals express their affection. So because the Lord had taken the form of a half lion and a half human, so the top portion was that of a lion, so he had to express affection. So he expressed affection by licking the body. And in this way, Prahlad Maharaj, Narad Muni was remembering this episode and glorifying Prahlad. Of course, the Lord also has hands with claws. But nevertheless, he was perhaps careful not to scratch Prahlad. Just this morning, I received an email from one devotee narrating the wonderful experiences of one child in South Africa. This child was only 5 years old, just like Prahlad was, and her parents were favorable to devotional service. At that time they were not yet devotees. Later on they became initiated devotees. And one time this small girl of 5 years old was playing with her friends outside. They were living in the countryside, and there was a big road, a public road that was nearby. And when the father had come to the window for some work, he happened to see his child and along with the other children playing. And he also saw a big truck coming down the road, and the ball happened to fall on the road. So this child ran to fetch the ball, and it so happened that as she rushed to get the ball on the road, she didn't notice the truck coming down. The father was watching all this, and in great anxiety to stop his daughter from going further, because even when he shouted, the daughter couldn't hear him, he jumped from the top. But he couldn't move further because he broke his legs after jumping. And he was lying there and seeing the truck coming there, and it knocked the little girl and threw her many, many meters away, 20 meters away. And she fell into the grass. At that time, there was a policeman who happened to be coming. So then he also came and he tried to get this girl, but everyone was afraid to touch her because it was an accident case. In case you touch a wrong way, there may be more damage caused. Anyway, finally the girl was taken to the hospital. The doctor asked for her x-rays to be taken. And when the nurse brought the x-ray films, the doctor started shouting at the nurse that this is a matter of life and death. And you are bringing, what kind of x-ray are you bringing me? Somebody else's x-rays you have brought me. Bring me the x-rays of this child. So the nurse said, this is the x-ray of the child. How can it be? Not a single broken bone. Nothing here, absolutely. So then they all came to the child, who by now was speaking. And they asked her what happened. And she started saying, and by the way, a background is that this little girl had been told by her parents about Narsingadev. So she had great affection for Lord Narsingadev. And she would talk about Lord Narsingha to her friends. And her friends couldn't understand what kind of God he is, who's half lion, half man. So they marveled at her faith and devotion in this child in God, who was in this form. So when the people asked her what happened, then she explained that as I was fetching the ball and I suddenly saw the truck in practically on top of me, I didn't remember my father or my mother, but I remembered Lord Narsingha. And immediately Lord Narsingha came there and he lifted me up and he said, don't worry, my dear child. He lifted me up and he took me and placed me in the grass. But the only thing is, so when somebody asked, there was no injury, you didn't get hurt? He said, the only thing is by his claws, he just scratched me on my waist. So the doctors were examining the body and the doctor hadn't heard this incident yet, what the child's explanation. So then he was examining the child and he saw that on the waist there were some claw marks. He said, being a doctor, I have experienced that many times when people come with injuries of claw marks from animals, then they have marks like that. So everyone was completely astonished. And from that one incident that came in the newspapers, and it seems it was popularized everywhere, and several people became devotees, and the parents eventually also became initiated devotees. So this is how Lord Narasingadev can sometimes protect his devotees, even here in this world. And this devotee was writing that one sannyasi happened to visit this family, and he had heard of this episode. So he offered Mahaprasadam, or he offered some sweets to this girl, a plateful. The girl took some sweets and went away, and the sannyasi ate the remaining, saying, this is the Mahaprasadam of this girl. He says, after Prahlad, it is the second time that Lord Narasingadev has appeared personally to save somebody, so naturally I must eat the Mahaprasadam of this great devotee. So that was about 10 years ago this incident happened. So anyway, in this case, some few claw marks were there. But when Prahlad Maharaj was being embraced by Narasingadev, he was licking him with great affection. And Narad Muni is expressing his astonishment at this kind of mercy that the Lord gave to Prahlad Maharaj. And he said that actually, you are the one who has actually conquered the Lord. And he narrated one historical episode, which Sanatana Goswami explains is mentioned in the Vaman Purana. One time Prahlad Maharaj was in the forest, and as he was walking along, he saw a person in a mendicant's dress, in the bark, in tree bark and so on. But he also had a bow and arrow and such equipment, armory. So Prahlad Maharaj was confused to see the contradictory attire. On one hand, he was in a hermit's clothing, and on the other hand, he had bow and arrow. So this was contradictory. So Prahlad Maharaj presumed that this must be some kind of a hypocrite who is trying to not properly follow the principles of religion, so that he must be taught a lesson. So Prahlad took up his bow and arrow and he said, I will defeat you. So he made that vow, that promise, that I will defeat you. So a fierce battle ensued between the two of them. It went on for days, and as was the custom in the Vedic times, they would start at dawn and end at dusk. At night time they would sleep, just like it happened in the battle of Kurukshetra. The Kauravas and the Pandavas would begin the battle in the morning and end at dusk, and then they would be walking into each other's camps and talking to each other. So several days passed like this, and Prahlad was not able to defeat this hermit. Then one day, just before beginning the battle, Prahlad Maharaj had a small deity which he was worshipping, and he offered the deity a garland of forest flowers, and then he saw amazingly that the same flower garland was being worn by this person, his opponent. And then in a flash he understood that this person was none other than the Supreme Lord. Lord Pitavas. This is how Narad Muni describes. Pitavas means one who is wearing yellow clothing. Pita means yellow, Vasa means clothes. So Lord Pitavas. And Prahlad Maharaj was overwhelmed and he offered his obeisances and tried to offer prayers of glorification. And after he did that, he had a question and he began to ask the Lord. He said, I'm very, very fortunate to have had your darshan here, but what about my vow as a Kshatriya? I have vowed to defeat you, but now you are the Lord, so what can I do? That means I am false, I will not be truthful to my vow. So at that time the Lord said, Tvaya ahanta sadajitosmi. My dear Prahlad, don't worry. I am forever conquered by you. So you are always victorious over me. I am always subordinate to you. So Prahlad Maharaj then was very satisfied. When Narad Muni was quoting this example, then he began to shout loudly, Jitam asmabhihi, Jitam asmabhihi, conquered by us, conquered by us. The Lord had been conquered by Prahlad, not by us or everybody. But Narad Muni said, conquered by us, conquered by us. Because he meant to indicate that like Prahlad Maharaj, the Lord actually submits himself and is conquered by his devotees. Brahma also says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Jnane prayasa mudapasya namanti eva jivanti san mukharitam bhavadiya vartam sthane sthita shutikatam tanuvan manobir ye prayaso jita jito pisita istrilokhyam. The Lord explains that, or Brahma explains, that for one who gives up all forms of mental speculation, especially that of impersonal Brahman, one who earns his livelihood honestly, and one who spends his time in the association of the devotees, glorifying the Supreme Lord, is assured of conquering Ajit, the Supreme Lord. Ajit means the unconquerable. Jita Ajitaha. So Brahma says that when one serves the Lord and surrenders to Him and becomes this kind of devotee, then one can even conquer the Lord, who is otherwise unconquerable. So the Lord can be only conquered by devotion. So that is the purport of Narad Muni's exclaiming loudly, Jitam asmabhihi, conquered by us, conquered by us. And then Narad Muni went on to say that, my dear Prahlad Maharaj, what to speak of you having conquered the Lord? Even your grandson Bali Maharaj, who received favor from the Lord because of his connection to you, even he conquered the Lord. And then he goes on to narrate an episode that is narrated in the Prahlada Samhita of the Skanda Puran. One time it is said the 10 daityas had attacked Dwarka. Daityas are the sons of Diti, they are demoniac by nature. Kashyap Muni had two queens, one was Aditi, who became the mother of the demigods, so the demigods are called Adityas, and the other wife was called Diti, who was the mother of Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, and also others. So the sons of Aditi are called Adityas, and the sons of Diti are called Daityas. So the Daityas are demoniac. So Prahlad Maharaj, Bali Maharaj, and so on, they are officially speaking Daityas because they come in the line of the Daityas. They are descendants of Hiranyakashipu, who was a Daitya. So when these Daityas attacked Dwarka, some of the residents of Dwarka, they formed a committee to go for help. And this committee consisted of many people, including the sage Durvasa Rishi. They went all the way to Sutala Loka because they knew the Lord would be there as a doorman. So they went and approached Lord Vamanadev and said, O Lord, please have mercy upon us. Please protect us We are being attacked by the daityas. We are in danger. We need your protection. So Vamanadeva said to Durvasa Rishi, my dear sage, please know that I am not independent. I cannot do anything independently. I am under the control of my devotees. I am right now Bali Maharaj's gateman, gatekeeper. I cannot do anything without Bali Maharaj's permission. This is the Lord speaking. So, if you want me to come, you have to go and get permission from Bali Maharaj. So Durvasa Rishi rushed to Bali Maharaj. And Bali Maharaj said, no, I cannot release the Lord from here. For me, these two lotus feet, which are sought after by the great demigods and the great sages of the universe, I can never leave them. Of course, I don't know what happened after that. So if the Lord didn't come, then what happened in Dwarka? That pastime was not mentioned. In any case, whatever happened in Dwarka, the point is that the Supreme Lord became controlled even by Prahlad Maharaj's grandson, Bali Maharaj. So in this way, Narad Muni was going on glorifying Prahlad as if he had thousands of mouths. Prahlad Maharaj, of course, was not happy to hear all this. And Narad Muni was saying how, despite the Lord having tempted Prahlad with so many benedictions and even liberation, Prahlad was not at all interested. Prahlad refused all these allurements, which are hard for others to resist. And Narad Muni went on like this. Ultimately, Prahlad Maharaj managed to stop Narad Muni in this glorification. And Prahlad took the humble position. And he said, in that time I was just a 5-year-old boy. What does a 5-year-old boy know of bhakti? I didn't know anything. Whatever happened is just the grace of the Lord. The credit doesn't go to me. Actually, the Lord wanted to keep the word of Brahma. The Lord wanted to actually favor the devotees. The Lord wanted to give mercy to his two gatekeepers, Jay and Vijay. The Lord had other functions to perform, and therefore he came, and it's just incidental that I was there and he killed my father. And his embrace, well, many people say it is just some kind of leela, it is just a pastime, some kind of maya. But that doesn't in any way indicate my greatness. The Lord has come into this world for his own purposes. Just see, I will tell you why I am not the greatest and why the Lord actually didn't give his mercy to me. The Lord, I served him simply by remembering him sometimes when I was in difficulty. But just see Hanuman. Hanuman is such a great devotee of the Lord that he constantly serves his Lord. But I have not served the Lord. Real mercy comes when the chance of seva is given. And I never got the chance to do seva. I only remembered him sometimes. So Hanuman is a far greater devotee than me. How am I a great devotee? And just see, if you think that the Lord has showered mercy on me, then I'll refute this by pointing out that the Lord instructed me to become the king and live in the midst of material opulences. How is this mercy? In the Shastras, the Lord has explained many times that on him on whom I have, on the person on which I and on whom I shower my mercy, I take away everything. So the Lord didn't take away everything from me. In fact, he gave me everything. So that means I am not the recipient of the Lord's mercy. And in this way, Prahlad Maharaj, in the mood of a true devotee, was making disparaging comments about himself, showing himself in a poor light. But we should understand that that is the humility and the greatness of a devotee like Prahlad Maharaj, that he was speaking like this about himself. In this way, Narad Muni was directed by Prahlad to go to Hanuman. And then what happened with Hanuman is another story. But anyway, we can understand the glories of Prahlad Maharaj through these incidents. Lord Shiva, Narad Muni, the Supreme Lord Himself, have all glorified Prahlad Maharaj as being such an exalted and great devotee. So we should pray to the lotus feet of Prahlad that he can also bless us with pure devotion. We shouldn't think Prahlad is not here. If Prahlad can be in Sutala Loka, in Harivarsha, in Vaikuntha, he can also be here, he can be in Vrindavan. Actually, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is explained that there are some devotees who have come in the mood of Prahlad. Haridas Thakur Namacharya is an incarnation of Prahlad, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says. Because of his compassionate nature, because Haridas Thakur wanted to be so kind to the living entities, he wanted to deliver everyone. We know from the episode in which he was beaten in 22 marketplaces, that even after the soldiers were unable to beat him, they became fearful because they felt that the king, the Muslim king, would now kill them. So Haridas Thakur became so compassionate. He felt that if because of me remaining alive, these people are going to suffer, then better I die. What is the value of my life if I give suffering to others? And then he withdrew the air within himself and he resembled a dead body, although he didn't die. And eventually the soldiers went and gave the news to the king that Haridas Thakur had died. The Qazi said that no, he shouldn't have the benefit of a regular Muslim burial. That would be according him a certain prestige which he doesn't deserve, because he became a Hindu, quote-unquote. And he shouldn't get the proper Hindu cremation as well. Just throw his body into the Ganga. So the soldiers threw the body in the Ganga. Haridas Thakur was still in the internal consciousness. He came to external consciousness as he had been swept down the Ganga. He swam to the shore and came out again. And when the news reached the king and all the others in the kingdom, they were astonished, and the king understood that Haridas Thakur was indeed a great saint. So this spirit of compassion is very much there in Prahlad, in all his teachings, especially in his prayers in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Time does not permit us to go into those prayers. So because of that spirit of compassion being there, Mahaprabhu has hailed Haridas Thakur as being the incarnation of Prahlad Maharaj. Although Haridas Thakur is also called the incarnation of Brahma. Similarly, in another section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Vasudev Datta is addressed by Mahaprabhu as an incarnation of Prahlad. Because Vasudev Datta, one time, he approached Mahaprabhu and said, I have one request of you. And that request is that please remove the sins from all the living entities in this universe and place those sins on me. And under the burden of this sin, I do not mind living in hell for eternity. But I want the other living entities to become free from sin and suffering. So the Lord said, Vasudev Datta, you are just like Prahlad Maharaj. You are Prahlad Maharaj. Sakshat, tumi sakshat Prahlad, he said. You are directly Prahlad because of this mood of compassion for all the living entities. So being very compassionate, Prahlad Maharaj will definitely bless us with pure devotion if we pray fervently at his lotus feet as we celebrate the festival of the appearance of his Lord and Master Lord Narsingadev. Bhaktaraj Prahlad Maharaj ki jai, Shri Narsingadev Bhagavan ki jai, Gaur Premanande. Are there any questions? Yeah, 1 minute. The question here. Yes.
Yes, I want to know how, like, Narad Muni instructed Prahlad Maharaj when he was in the womb, and he was much before Prahlad. He was a devotee, and he was spaceman. He was traveling, and so how is that Prahlad becomes such a great devotee, more greater than Narada himself, who is his guru? So, does it happen many times in the incidents like this?
Well, one of the phenomena in the spiritual platform is that everyone is glorifying everyone else. Sometimes it's a problem. So you can't really figure out, because everyone calls everyone else better than me. Of course, it's a better problem to have than to be in a world, in the material world, where everyone considers himself to be better than others. But of course, Narad Muni is no doubt great, glorious. But in his search for the greatest devotee, he is being led in that journey from one exalted devotee to another and another and another. So he is quoting here from these different scriptures and from different exalted persons to show that Prahlad Maharaj is really great. Of course, as regards who came first, yes, Narad Muni was there already for a long time. But as I mentioned earlier, Lord Shiva has already explained that Lakshmi Devi and Garuda and so on were devotees even before Prahlad, even before Narad Muni. Right? So they are more senior to Narad Muni also. So if Prahlad was a junior devotee, Narad Muni was a senior devotee, but Garuda and others are much, much more senior. So, if Sanatana Goswami is explaining that Prahlad is greater even to those very, very senior devotees because of the tribulations and sufferings that he had to undergo, and still he didn't give up the Lord. That's the point. So we should understand in this spirit. Now we shouldn't start thinking that Narad Muni is not a great devotee. Prahlad is... No, we should also understand Narad is very, very great. That's the spiritual platform. Yes, Mataji, you had a question? Yes.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Prahlad came in the family of demons.
Can you repeat that, please?
Prahlad came in the family of demons.
I didn't catch it.
Prahlad came in the family
of demons. Prahlad came in the family of demons, yes.
He was a very devotee, but he could know that Prahlad is the home of
Okay, the question, if I've understood right, is Prahlad was such an exalted devotee, even in the womb of his mother, Narad Muni had said that there's a great devotee here. How was he born in the family of big demons? That's the question. Yes, this is also the Lord's arrangement. Because he wants to show that a devotee is transcendental to all circumstances, material circumstances. And this is found in its most extreme condition in Prahlad. If Prahlad had been born in a devotee's family in ISKCON or anywhere, well, who would have remembered Prahlad? But because Prahlad was the son of the greatest demon in the whole universe, the contrast was so great, And the persecution was so tremendous, therefore Prahlad's example shines. So Prahlad was placed by the Lord in such a family to illustrate Prahlad's greatness, and through the example of Prahlad to illustrate the glories of devotional service. As we mentioned yesterday, that narrations of the glories of the pure devotees of the Lord bring out the glories of pure devotional service. We can explain or understand how glorious pure devotional service is by studying the lives of the great devotees like Prahlad. So the Lord deliberately placed Prahlad in such a situation where he was subjected to so much harassment. That suffering that Prahlad apparently underwent is not to be considered a sign of his previous bad karma. Generally, suffering is a result of previously performed sinful activity. But for the pure devotees, it's not like that. It is directly the loving hand of Krishna. If there is a particular devotee who is very sincere but may not be 100% pure, Prahlad may, the Supreme Lord, may subject that devotee to what appears to be ordinary misery just to purify him quickly of the remaining little impurities left. Secondly, the Lord may also subject the devotees to difficulty to actually make his love deeper for the Lord. Because in a situation of difficulty, the devotee has to cry out and to remember the Lord and to depend on the Lord helplessly. So that deepens the love of the devotee for the Lord. Because pure devotional service is unlimitedly expanding. And thirdly, the Lord puts his great devotees into apparent distress like this to show the whole world the glories of that devotee and the glories of devotional service, so that others may also be induced to come on this path. So, the next time somebody complains about an unfavorable family situation, all we have to do is to remember Prahlad. Our situation is nothing compared to what Prahlad's was. And still he never forgot the Lord. He never complained any time. So therefore, this is the Lord's desire to teach us and to teach the whole world a lesson. Therefore, he was placed in this situation. If there is a fragrant tree, a tree of fragrant flowers, one tree, it purifies the whole forest. The whole forest becomes sanctified by that smell, that nice fragrance. So similarly, the family of Daityas, of Hiranyakashipu, was like a forest of thorn trees. And Prahlad was that one sandalwood tree. And because of that one sandalwood tree in the midst of that whole forest of thorn trees, that whole forest was delivered and purified. So all the descendants and forefathers of Prahlad were purified because of Prahlad being there in that situation. Okay, so we'll stop here. So we'll meet again tomorrow for the last day's discussion. Prahlad Maharaj ki jai, Sri Narasingadev Bhagavan ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Premanande Hari. Yeah, he gave the opposite example that I'll give tomorrow. He said that this is a...
Hare Krishna.
सारे भक्तों के लिए बाहर तरफ प्रसाद का व्यवस्था है, तो प्रसाद जिस प्रसाद में आप थोड़ा जिस थोड़ी देर रुकना पड़ेगा आपको 2 मिनट। Some juice arrangement is there for all the devotees. Please wait at least 2 minutes. Is coming.